Welcome, 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 everyone, to the 11th episode of the one and only Politically Speaking. Thank you guys for tuning in. If it is your first time, hello, everybody. Welcome to the fun side. Welcome to the show. So we have
love that energy.
So we have and look at us. We got guests. Not only that, we got special guests, special co-hosts. We is in there. So sit back, enjoy, have fun, catch up, bring friend next time. So I'm gonna have Kristen take it away.
All right. So I'm very excited about our special guest this evening. We have with us Tina Belgi, who is running for Greenville City Council's at-large seat this November. We're getting really close, which is crazy. I'm sure it feels even crazier for Tina, much crazier. But so it's just exciting to have a wonderful, qualified candidate on our ballot this year, and a young female, which is even better. We love that representation. Right. So I'm going to go ahead and let Tina introduce herself and kind of why she feels she's the best candidate for city council.
Thank you, Kristen. I appreciate it. And Erica for having me. So I wholeheartedly agree. It's great to have people in office who kind of know what they're talking about. I'm a city planner by trade. So that's a huge reason I'm running and why I think I'm the best fit. You know, I have seen Greenville grow over many years. I'm a third generation to live here in the upstate. And gosh, I concerned about how we manage that growth, affordability, just like, will my kids be able to afford to live here? I work in the low country a lot, and man, we will be there in like a hop, skip, and a beat. So, keeping our character, keeping our affordability. I think a thriving community is one where everyone can thrive, not just the wealthy. So I really think we can reach a lot of those same goals and good planning. Do it through good transit, good housing, childcare, while protecting our environment. Let's do it.
Yeah. Right? When I'm driving around, you go ahead, Erica. Sorry.
Well, I just want to say, if you can go ahead and plug, how do people find you?
Yes, of course. Yes, TinaBelgi.com is the website. So it's BELGE. And my handle for Instagram is TBelgi. We are also on TikTok.
Okay.
There.
Yes. She's got very fun videos.
I feel like I'm going to have to jump out in a dance or something.
You will. So go ahead and get your stretching on because it's happening.
Okay.
All right. Erica loves a good TikTok dance.
I love to dance. So,
right.
I'm here for it.
I don't really do nothing with my legs, but I got you from the hips up. I'm all day.
There we go.
But no, what I was going to say is you were talking about city planning, and all the time when I'm driving around, me and my husband, and I'm from Detroit, so the planning that went into that city is a vast, marked difference in what I see here. So yeah. I'm constantly saying to my husband, who are these planners? Are these people in Greenville even planners? Who are they?
Right.
So to have somebody with that experience would be, I think, tremendous. It was much needed. So, you're talking about affordability in the city of Greenville, and I know that's something I talk about a lot too. I'm a renter, and our rent is always going up every year. It gets worse and worse. And I know mortgages are the same. I know there's probably not much city council can do about mortgages, but I don't really know all the specifics of that. But what do you think needs to be done to make Greenville a more affordable place for people to live?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are some limitations, but there's still a lot that we can do, rental and mortgage. So homeownership too. Our city owns a good bit of land. I would love to see us use some of that for affordable homeownership, put it in a land trust model, which takes that land out of the mortgage equation. So you're, able to build it more affordably. And, there's some shared equity that happens over time. Basically, gets you in the housing market where most people cannot enter. The average mortgage, if you're entering our market in the city, is $3,600 a month.
Gosh.
So we've officially flipped to that, rentership is cheaper generally in the city than a mortgage. which is scary. We used to be like, you know, known for like, okay, pretty affordable housing, the bang for your buck, you might as well be owning a home. And so we tipped that scale. We're now 60% rental versus 60% homeowner. And that, you know, just creates more instability in the market and for like keeping care of our housing stock and all of that, right? And you have investment properties and landlords who don't really care about their properties in some instances. Right. You know, we've got some good mom and pop ones for sure, but there's also just a lot of like outside investment and they don't live here or care about this city. So I'd say there's that. You know, some cities I work in, we do like cooperative housing or mixed income neighborhood trust where people can actually build equity while you rent. Like, wouldn't that be fab?
Yeah,
if like part
I think
of your
wonderful,
you know, a part of your rent that you just, you're not throwing away every day or every month, you're putting it in towards that house that you want to buy. And then we also just have a lot of vacant land in the city we could activate, I think, as well, incentivize activation of it. Accessory dwelling units. I'd love for us also to pass a tiny home subdivision. That was something I wrote when I worked at the county. We passed that.
Tiny homes.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you know, like just let people build whatever equity, you know, it's a struggle out here for sure.
I have two questions for you. Anybody that is new to politics, think, you know, trying to get their feet wet, trying to just understand it, can you explain to them what exactly does city council do? What is their responsibilities? Like, as someone who just doesn't want to understand political jargon, like, what is your role expectations? Yeah. You know, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, you are tasked with governing the city and its operation. So managing everyday things like trash pickup and, you know, development codes and carrying out like services, fire, police, to like truly shaping and managing the growth that we've experienced. But it's also just like policy as well. So there is a good bit of policy that comes with the territory. You're also like, I think, part of that fiduciary responsibility that, you know, you have to oversee the city budget and make sure, like, are people being paid well? Are we taking care of our employees? Are, you know, we managing the tax money that we collect in an accountable way?
Absolutely. And my next question was, considering reflecting on your own why of running, if there is someone out there that is interested, what can you share, you know, as far as motivation? What should be, you know, the fuel to the fire, the pep in the step? What advice could you give them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always say that saying, like, you know, be the change you wish to see in the world. And I just feel like whatever your talent is, you know, maybe I think a lot of folks I hear like, oh, that's like not for me. Like, I'm so introverted, or I just can't get into politics. Politics is so messy. Like, we need normal, good people in politics. On a daily basis, I'm like reminded of just, you know, it's an up and down, because I'm like, as a sane person, I feel like this isn't for me sometimes. Like, I don't deal with BS. I don't like the games. I don't like, you know, tit for tat. Like, but that's the exact people we need in office. If you're thinking like, that's not for me, it's probably why you should be.
Exactly.
Think about that. Think about the good you can do, the amount of people you could help. I'm a big believer in policy, being able to help people. You know, I started in college in student government, passing policy. It got that itch, you know, and I've just carried that with me. Like, I, you know, went through a lot growing up and experienced housing instability. And my mom lost her job with, you know, mental health, you know, an illness. And, you know, I just want to help people with the struggles they're going through. Speaking of, if you can hear my 4-year-old screaming in the back.
And I was going to bring up, I was going to say, you know, talk about you being a normal person running. You have young kids and you're still out there doing it. And that's not easy, but it's important because there's a lot of moms out there and, you know, they need to see somebody out there who represents them.
And what's more humbling than coming home and like your kids just like, you know, you just made, you like, you're pushing through, your every day is insane, you're balancing work, family, campaign, and then you're like making dinner and they're like, I don't want to eat that. I'm not sure what else is more humbling. So they keep you grounded. It's and we need more moms in office. We need more perspective of that, like to see what kids are going through and experiencing. And I think some older generations are not exactly feeling the same economic reality that our generation and younger is living with, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I read that in the Wall Street. This sounds terrible. I read this in the Wall Street Journal. Not like I'm reading that regularly, but it was in my Apple News feed. It was saying that, you know, the older people are experiencing a very different economy than young people are right now. And I know that's the case. I mean, I look at a lot of the older people around me and I'm like, they have no idea, no idea what it's like out here.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
It's a very, very good point. Well, I'm going to ask one more question. There's so many questions I could ask you, but I think, you know, since we were talking about you being a mom, I know one of the things that you are interested or one of your priorities would be to make childcare more accessible for working moms in Greenville. And I think that's awesome. I work at a university where a lot of my students, we're a different kind of university. A lot of our students have kids, like this might be a career change. And so they really struggle when it comes to childcare so that they can go to school and become a nurse and better themselves and their families. So what are some ideas or things you'd like to do to help with that childcare issue we have?
Yeah, I mean, two things. We have two zoning districts in our city that, you know, are make it kind of go through a higher level of review in order to get those created if you wanted to put in a center somewhere. And so just changing those to be more childcare friendly, you know, within neighborhoods. We need childcare everywhere, truly, in our city. We're in a desert. The other thing would be our after school and summer programs are 70% subsidized, which is good. Like, I think in general, you're like, okay, well, that's good. We're putting money towards it. But, you know, why am I paying the same as somebody making $20,000 a year, right? So maybe they should pay less. I should pay a little more. Just make it more equitable. And then we're able to take some of those dollars and me paying my fair share, open up more spots. We used to have a lot more spots for kids in before COVID. And then some of the extra gap funding there to put into under four. Right? Under four care is the hardest to provide for. And some of those centers are sitting open during the day. You know, maybe it's contracting, you know, with a child care partner. I'm certainly not, you know, wanting the city to go into under four care. But I think if it's using those facilities, opening it up. And then I definitely think we should support our own city employees to, you know, having child care facilities in the city, close to the city, and whatever financial support we can for them to have that.
All right. I definitely think that that's important. And I know Erica would probably agree with that, too.
Absolutely. One more time, Tina, before you exit, tell the people how they can find you.
And not only how they can find you, but what are the best ways for them to support you?
Oh, good one. Yeah. Like I mentioned, the Facebook, our Instagram, TikTok, TinaBelgi.com. If you could donate, that's a huge one. That's an easy one. Follow, share all of our stuff. Those are really easy ones. Word of mouth is huge. If you're in Greenville and just text 10 friends, we have one that just went out. So if you receive that text, you know, forward it on to some folks, share our profiles, you know, just with 10 friends and ask them to send to 10 friends.
Exactly.
More important, get a sign. We can drop one by you. You can request one on our website. And if you like knocking doors, come do that with me. Saturday and Sunday, we're out there. You can also write postcards or make some phone calls.
Well, I didn't know about the postcards.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite ways. So
I like postcards.
Oh, good. Well, I'll be texting you then because I can do an easy thing for me to
easy
do.
Love it.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yay!
Thank you. Good luck.
You got it.
Going it out there, girl. All right. You're definitely going to have to come back. Thank you, girl. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tina.
All right. If you are still here, we got another special guest. Kirsten, are you ready? Are you ready?
I am. I think I'm ready. I will.
You think you're ready? Well, come on down, Mr. Kyle.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you.
So we have Kyle Brantley with us, who is, like I said last episode with our friend Michael Layer, is a good friend of the pod. But Kyle is another one. We've gotten to know a lot of people through Young Dems, so you'll probably hear when we have people on. Yeah, from Young Dems. You know, we all kind of run in the same circles.
I know.
But Kyle, if you, we would love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Right.
And take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kirsten and Erica, thank y'all so much for asking to be a co-host. For Emily, I even texted her and said I have to channel my inner Emily Mayer. So
hard.
I'm here with my A game. But yes, to everyone listening, my name is Kyle Brantley. I'm a proud graduate of the University of South Carolina. I work for a political super PAC based out of Seattle, Washington, called Common Power. And I am more or less in the leadership, youth leadership and development program that we host every summer called Action Academy. And I have the honor there of being a fellow with Action Academy, traveling across different parts of the country, learning new things, talking to new voters and taking things back from, you know, a different state from other than South Carolina and bringing them back home.
I mean, what an introduction. What an introduction. Good job, Kyle.
Well, please, the introduction for you and Kirsten.
No, you're too nice. And I was going to say, I love seeing Kyle's social media posts after he goes on these trips, because I feel like I learn things through the photos and little captions. So it's cool to see what you're out and about doing.
Yeah,
all right,
y'all.
Well, since we...
I just want to say I apologize for being in my car. I just got done with the fundraiser.
That's right. You booked and busy. It's okay. It's okay.
Always doing the work.
You call. All right. Since Kyle is hopping on, so today's episode, we are going to be talking about, you're probably already aware, so we're just going to recap it, about the most recent incident with the young man, because he was young to me, Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. He was unfortunately shot and killed, and it was a lot of layers to the aftermath of and controversy surrounding this hot topic. And so we're going to take a deeper dive into breaking it down and just, you know, unwinding and just having a safe space, open discussion about how this even is being relayed and discussed and just everyone's views on it. So due to technical difficulties in the state of Gulf, South Carolina, so we're just going to keep it going, keep it moving, keep the vibe, okay? All right, so on today's episode, again, we're talking about Charlie Kirk. It is a singular in the point where it is about him and his situation, but is broader into the layers involved of the aftermath, what it represents, the views, everyone's opinions and inputs. So let's just start from, why are we so like involved in this? Why are we even talking about this? Because everyone passes away every day. What's the big deal? There is a big deal.
Question.
So let's go ahead and start talking about that big deal. So Charlie Kirk was someone who used free speech and stuff. I was about to say freedom, because is it freedom? I don't know. But we're going to talk about that more in the episode. But starting with his view on just, you know, using his right to, you know, freely talk about his opinions and express it. And he had a following. People was aligning with the things that he was saying. Obviously, he had listeners. That's why this is even being discussed, because, again, many people pass away. But this particular person was involved with a lot of opinions, a lot of spreading, you know, information. And I'm going to make sure that, let me first say that these opinions that I share are my own. So whatever comes out my mouth, just know that it is from me. And Kirsten obviously will share hers. But we're going to share them. So at this point, if you don't want to hear nothing, you might want to go ahead and step away. So with that being said, we're going to talk about this person. This one M might, you know, wish that she was on. But nonetheless, let's talk about the whole concept of, you know, speech. He was a person who traveled and spread his speech on his podcast and events. He went to colleges, campuses, did tours and promoted, you know, his own personal values, which is fine. No problem at all. The problem lies in the message that he was delivering. And it's like, we're not going to fake the funk. We're going to make sure that we are being intentional with our words, with our decisions, with the message that we are delivering to the audience, how it is being delivered. And we're not going to just pretend like this man did not say specific stuff and things like that. If he wants to say his message, again, that's not the problem. I support that. That's the whole point. But it's the stuff that he was relaying to those on ears. Kirsten, what is your opinion about this? Freedom, you know, free speech.
Yeah. So, you know, what I heard something on the radio the other day about this where someone said that I'm not going to celebrate his death, but I'm not going to celebrate his life. Mm-hmm. And I really resonated with that because while, you know, and we're going to talk about political violence, and I, you know, absolutely do not condone it in any way, shape, or form. I also heard my Pod Save America people, they were saying it struck them so much as podcast hosts that Charlie Kirk was a podcast host. And he was shot down for his beliefs. So, you know, it's something to think about in that way. But free speech, Charlie Kirk was very big on saying that we all deserve to have the right to say what our opinions are in the public sphere. And I agree with that. I 100% agree with that.
Exactly.
Now, what he was sharing in the public sphere, I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. But he probably doesn't agree. He probably wouldn't agree with a lot of the things I'm sharing in the public sphere. But in America, we're able to both of us get to do that. And in the wake of his shooting, we're seeing where, I mean, and there have been some truly vile posts of people celebrating his death and saying he deserved it. And I disagree with that. I don't think anybody deserves that. But the people that are sharing those posts, they have the right to share that. I might not like it, but they can share it. But what we're seeing happening under this administration, who Charlie Kirk was best buddies with everybody in the administration, people are losing their jobs. Media companies are being silenced.
Uh-huh.
There's a range of things that are happening to silence free speech. And Charlie Kirk would not agree with that. He thought everybody had. Now, I mean, if this would have been another prominent conservative voice, you know, Charlie Kirk might have agreed with silencing of their critics. So, I mean, I can't speak for what he would agree with, but what he said out loud is that everybody deserves the right to free speech.
Exactly.
So, by taking that right away, that's completely opposite of what he said.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to segue into the things that he did say, because I think the audience should understand why there's two different opinions. Why there's the Charlie Kirk, you know, him, and then flipped on the other side of the coin, there's, well, here's the truth. Here's opinion, and then, mm-hmm. But here is the truth. And the truth is he supported the fact that there may be some individuals who may need to, you know, die to gun violence so that we can all have the right to even own a gun and stuff. And if that's what he wanted to support, again, me and Kirsten are saying that is fine. But the thing is, you're going into a mass audience of all these people, you're getting on podcasts, you're going on TV, you're going live, you're reaching an audience who are going to receive this, and you do not know how they're going to, you know, what they're going to do with the information. And here we are with this. And not only that, let me also add that he also supported, he made a comment and it said, if I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, mm. Boy, I hope he's qualified. Again, he has the right to say whatever comes to his mind. But the issue is he is spreading that information to the masses. He is supporting a rhetoric that is getting him shot, that is getting him in danger, that is where he thought that he was going to be in a safe space to just freely talk, and which he should have. But hello, gun violence, I keep saying in a previous episode, a gun does not care what your race is. A gun does not care what your morals is. It does not care what your hair texture is like. It does not care about that and stuff. But my issue is I feel terrible for his family. But when I think about him, again, as a singular person, I'm like, well, I have my opinions. I have my reservations. And again, and they come from because he advocated for guns. He advocated the right to have that. He advocated for free speech. He advocated for all of these things and spread it so that other people can also, you know, have similar views and similar points. And here we are again, where this, like, here we are. Like, it's like, don't you see that how the world is upside down right now? Don't you see how people are just, they can't go to the grocery store. They can't go to the church for a prayer. They can't go for a jog. They can't do the simple, basic things every day because we're unfortunately in the timeline where everybody thinks that you can't use your words in order to solve a problem. You just have to automatically, like, go straight from A to Z and stuff like that. And it's, again, it's very unfortunate what happened to him. But it's like, no, we're also going to make sure we're going to talk about the facts that led to possibly what happened to him. But on that note, welcome back, Kyle.
Thank y'all so much for welcoming me back. Yes. Fun fact, I'm pretty sure my iPhone 11 is donezo for good.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm pretty sure it's donezo for good. So I do apologize for that technical difficulties to both you, Kirsten, and Erica, and to your wonderful producer and to the audiences as well. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Well, okay. We're sorry about your iPhone 11. You know,
I mean, I'm trying to be cheap as possible in this economy. So
that's real. Well, you already know the topic that. Did you want to go ahead and chime in on your views and perspective of, you know, the first topic that we were going to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, first and foremost, I do want to start off by saying, under no circumstances, due to disagreements or any way, shape, or form, is violence ever the answer, especially political violence? But with that being said, we can't speak about that without not turning a blind eye and holding accountable the rhetoric that is being spread currently and the rhetoric that was being spoken about as well in the past. You know, I don't know Charlie Kirk. I disagree with him on every single thing that you could speak of or think of. But what I can say is, the boundaries that we are seeing right now in the implications of people using their freedom of speech is something that's very troubling. We see these Clemson University professors that are being fired for speaking of their facts, of their truth, and of their opinions. We're seeing Coastal Carolina universities being fired due to their opposing beliefs of their state legislator. And, you know, there are some representatives, especially in deep red Greenville and Spartanburg, into deep red Lexington, who is interfering in the business and of the careers of those that are way more qualified than them, number one, and number two, that are teaching and leading the next generation of leaders. I think this is something that is very, very troubling. And what is going to happen, in my view, is that this is going to set precedent as to who can we punish, not because of who they are or what they believe in, but simply because of the fact that they spoke bad about my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what this boils down to.
This, and because you've already touched point on the second one that I wanted to talk about, which is political violence, like what it is, what forms it is, like, and I want to say specifically, like, political violence, because it's intentional. It stems from a difference. It's like, it's not like, you know, all the other different types of violence, but this is very specific. And it's just like, the stuff that is just happening, and not just happening, the frequency of the stuff that is just happening over, you know, just freely being able to have an opinion, being able to freely express that opinion openly. And what we are wanting to have is a safe space, which it is not. It's like before, we, in a previous episode, we all said that we were activists. Well, we still are, but we are activists outside our home. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are fighting power outside on the streets, you know, lacing our boots up. But now, 2025, you get something about doing something, you're like, let me think about it. Let me process now. Like, because it's not the same. Yep. Like, it's just crazy. But I definitely wanted to, like, just talk about it. And then I also feel like with political violence, it's the umbrella of the leaders who are in underneath these umbrellas and these, you know, leadership positions who are just, like, they have that responsibility. You cannot run for office to be a servant without having a responsibility. Because why even put your name on the ballot? Like, why are you even running? and stuff like that. And so I just feel like these leaders, and yes, Kirk, he was a leader. He had a leadership style. Whatever he was, he had an audience. He had a repeat audience. He had supporters. He had people leaving a house to listen to his message. So yes, he was a leader and stuff like that. And because of that, he had a responsibility. And we as the audience also have responsibility too, to just, you know, to have, keep the thoughts right here. We all have them. Be like, boy, that boy's signet. Oh my God. If I, you know, just 5 minutes, meet me outside, you know? So we all say, we all do it, but that's where it should just stay. It's like, oh my gosh, the fact that you let this person stir you up to the point that you wanted to end their life. That now that's crazy. And the fact that that is how common things are doing, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, we have to change this narrative. And it's like, I don't even know at what point are they going to want to change it. It's like, no one cares. And it's becoming like, we're all dull and gray. Like, oh, it's another shooting. Okay. Anyways, like, let's go back to TikTok. Like, no, it's like, absolutely right. Not. Like, what? But what do you guys
think? That's what you said. TikTok.
You say TikTok and you know, being Gen Z, that's the big thing nowadays. And I mean, we also can't talk about political violence and the assassination of Charlie Kirk while also not speaking in the grand scheme of things of the outcomes of that, right? Charlie Kirk was assassinated on a Tuesday. On a Wednesday, 9 HBCUs across the country were put on lockdown. In fact, a Delta State University student was found, and I'm not going to say murdered, I'm not going to say killed. This was a modern day lynching. That's exactly what this was. And it's the fact of the matter that the outcomes of an assassination towards, as, and you are right, Erica, for a leader in someone as controversial as Charlie Kirk, for the outcomes to be automatically harming your neighbors and your local universities, and especially those HBCUs that are, you know, ignoramus or of stature in their own communities, is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. And I think, for me, I'm more interested to see what the outcomes are going to be. Are we going to start seeing people held responsible for hate speech or for dislike speech? Are we going to start targeting people for the intimidation and hatred for the opposing side because a man who said that Black women don't have enough mental capacity to break down mental concepts or whatever he said? Especially speaking about a man, this exact same man that said some sacrifices need to be made so I can continue to have my right to carry a gun.
I didn't like how when this first dropped, it was divided even politically. And it's like, my gosh, like, why does our brain even have to say it's to pick a side? No, it's like, this is a partisan. This is, hey, we all need to come to this table and we might need to have a conversation because these people out here are crazy. Like what? And then the fact that the person who even shot him, they're saying he wasn't even a Democrat. And it's like, again, like, y'all sitting here trying to, like, point fingers, oh, the Dems. What do the Dems? No, we ain't telling that man to go outside and do that. Like, stop it. Like, we are not claiming him. Like, no, you can have that. We're not claiming that. Like,
who did January 6th? Like, right. We exactly. Always forget.
Who... And it's like, why do we just have to automatically pick a side? But go ahead, Kristen.
Well, it was just to say, I don't know. I think it was through the Pew Research Group did a survey, and I don't even know what year this was, so I'm screwing this all up, but where they asked Republicans and Democrats the same question, is, they didn't call it political violence, but they said, is violence okay to restore America, or something to that effect? It was basically saying, like, is political violence okay? And you had an overwhelming majority of Republicans saying, yeah, it was okay. And then, I won't say an overwhelming majority, more than half said it was okay. And then you saw the exact opposite, where more than half of Democrats said it was not okay. So, but it goes back to, everybody's always looking for somebody to blame in this world we live in. So it's like, we've been so ingrained to blame the other political party that that's where our heads a lot of us, where our heads first go, you know, and my head didn't really go there in this instance because I knew Charlie Kirk was a conservative. And I was like, I guess because I'm a Democrat, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't see too many crazy Democrats going out and shooting people.
Got time to be doing all that. We trying to buy eggs.
So my brain didn't go there, but Fox, Fox News is.
We ain't got time for that. No.
Right. But Fox News is priming their viewers to think, oh, something bad happens. It was the Democrat.
Right.
And I think that's a main issue, right? Because it's so normalized for both sides, arguably, to just target the other side and say, you know, if it obviously couldn't be a Democrat or it should never be a Republican doing this thing. But I mean, going back to the fact that they're blaming the radical liberal leftist, also known as just an average day leaning left Democrat, they want to blame Joe across the street, who knows nothing about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, right.
Whereas where you turn around and what was it? Butler, Pennsylvania, where it was a member of their own party, a registered member of their own party that tried to have success and to find success in a political assassination attempt on his own. And it shows that the call is coming from inside the house and not outside the house, yes. Like the rhetoric that they are spewing towards us. And it obviously has to stop. I mean, look at Congresswoman Nancy Mace. The first thing she said, was that it was a lot of slurs. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, slurs targeting a certain community just because they want to love who they want to love and be whoever they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, very valid points, but it's like, I feel like, what message are we like setting for the next generation? Because every time I turn on the TV, it's like a 20-year-old or 21, 20s. I said, my gosh, like, what in the world is going on? Like, what is happening? Like, it's I don't know. You Gen Zers, like, needs to come on. I don't know. It's trippy out here. But let's go ahead and talk about, speaking of, because they always on social media. Anyway, but just the role of, like, just social media and how that can, like, influence, you know, people's perceptioning and get them all worked up behind that daggone device. Like, and I know, Kirsten, you had a topic too that you wanted to bring up as well. But I definitely feel like with Kirk, he had that platform, and it's like that platform landed on the right ears for whatever reason. That person done got worked up and felt it in their spirit to put their shoes on and go purchase that. I don't know if they did purchase, but they grabbed the gun and, you know, took, you know, actions and their own advice or into their own situation. But it's just like, I feel like with social media, it's like he had a responsibility. He had to have known he had like a responsibility. And anybody that is listening right now, just know you have a responsibility. Whenever you get on, you know, social media and you decide to post whatever it is, it's out there for the world and stuff like that. So I feel like be mindful about, you know, what you're saying. You can always, again, say whatever you want. Definitely not saying you should walk around on eggshells and stuff like that. You know, shout out to the top of the mountains if Trump pissed you off, because you probably already heard it on this episode a couple times. But nonetheless, we should penalize someone for having a disagreement, a difference. We should all agree to disagree. But it's just crazy how some people just go straight to jail, don't collect $200. They just out here just going crazy. And it's just like, my gosh. But nonetheless,
and speaking of social media, I work for a university. So with all of the things going on with people being fired from universities for speaking out on social media about their opinions, I have been very mindful, as I usually am, because I understand the kind of climate we're living in. I don't post a lot of political stuff because I work for a private university, and public universities are up for grabs now too, but I don't yeah, I'm always mindful. And especially in this case, I was like, but now here I'm on the podcast sharing my views. But I'm more
cautious.
I'm more visible on social media. So it's like, I have to be mindful of that. And not enough people are, unfortunately. So.
And I think it's just interesting. I know you heard about Jimmy Kimmel getting fired. So, okay, so Jimmy Kimmel can't have an audience. Jimmy Kimmel can't have people that listen to him. Jimmy Kimmel can't have people that want to hear his message as well, you know? But it's like, no.
But we had to hear Charlie Kirk.
We had to hear Charlie Kirk. You see what I'm saying? Thank you. Thank you, friend. You picked it up, I guess. You're right. And it's like, hello, the layers, again, of, you know, one side of the coin and then versus the other. And it's like, no. It's like, you know, keep that same energy. If you're going to have this into law, then that is the law. We should all be able to freely just say what we want to say. No one should get penalized because this, again, is not a dictatorship situation. Like, that is our house and we could definitely remove you. So don't get too comfortable. And it's like, we got to remind people in these positions that they don't all have the power. No, we have the power as a voter. And if you're listening, if you get anything out this episode, remember that you have the power and you have the control. Don't let these people like be making your decisions. No, you put them in those positions and stuff like that. And they're supposed to be representing you. And Charlie Kirk, again, he had an audience and they were and landed on someone's ear and they felt it in a spirit to proceed accordingly. But again, I have to reiterate, he also advocated that it is okay for people to, you know, have these losses for the gains. So it's like, it's very, again, very unfortunate what happened to this young man. But nonetheless, we're not going to sit there and water down and disregard some of the things that took place to, you know, have someone get out their house and meet them. And it took time, climbed the wall, because I saw he was on like the second floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, he had a plan and he did all that. And it's like, it's very unfortunate. But Chris, I do want you to go ahead and talk about your segment with the church.
Yes. So just to, you know, keep things fun and exciting, now we're putting religion into the mix because, we've talked a lot about how Charlie Kirk was conservative in nature, but a lot of what he was talking about when he was going around was his Christian faith. And while I do, so let me back up. I am a Christian. I have been a Christian my entire life, a couple years in my early 20s, but we're not going to talk about that. But but my whole life, that's the biggest part of my identity and a huge reason why I'm a Democrat, which is always interesting to me because many conservatives say their Christian faith is what makes them vote Republican. But a lot of those views do go against the Bible. So I've attended the same Baptist church in Simpsonville for 6.5 years. Love my church. And the vast majority of my friends here in Greenville also go to this church. And it's very, well, I don't want to say it's conservative in nature. It is to a degree very conservative in the fact that we're kind of turning into a mega church. We have a central campus with like several other campuses that are smaller. And the pastor of the main campus, he was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a minute. So like, if that tells you kind of where the how conservative the church that I go to tends to be. But I'm grateful for the multi-site model because my pastor, I feel like does a really great job kind of like still bringing in these cultural things, but not like making the whole sermon about it. So knowing really well that many of my friends are conservatives, I was still very shocked to see my social media feeds in the days after Charlie Kirk was killed. It was and is unbelievable to me the way that a lot of these Christians are praising Kirk and lifting him up as a martyr, saying he was killed for his courage to live his Christian faith every day. They don't bring up that he was also a political activist, only that he was a Christian apologist. Mm. And, you know, while a lot of what Kirk said about the scripture, I do agree with. However, the parts that really stand out to me are the parts that really go against the Bible I've read. And, you know, they're making him out to be the perfect Christian when he wasn't. None of us are. Representative Troy Nels, a Republican from Texas, said at a congressional hearing the other day. If Charlie Kirk lived in biblical times, he'd have been the 13th disciple. So that really shows you, like, the level, I mean, and just the hysteria around this. One post I saw on social media from a church friend said, was this how it felt when Kennedy died?
What?
I mean, it's like just so, yes. And the comments, because of course I had to read the comments because I'm like, what are people saying about this?
Yeah.
And all of them were like, yes, I remember where I was when Kennedy died. And I'll remember where I was when, and I'm like, oh my, no. Because everybody knew who Kennedy was. He was the president of the freaking United States. Mm-hmm. But like, we forget there's a lot of people that didn't know who Charlie Kirk was. Like, right, my mom, here, when I brought it to her, she's like, what are you guys talking about?
Exactly.
Like, I don't
like
know this person. Like, my coworker, my work bestie, we were talking about it the other day, and she's like, I had no idea who he was. And then she started looking him up and saw how he said the Civil Rights Act should have never been passed. And just, you know, what he said about just transgender. I mean, he's just said these awful things that the Bible doesn't say anything about transgender people. So, like, that's
and
just
that is true. I second that. I second that to every conservative that I speak to. I always tell them it can't be that group of people.
Right. So they're just making it up, you know, and like he compared transgender or not even transgender, gender affirming care. He compared to medieval butchery. And I'm like, no, that's a very different concept, but okay. So it's just crazy to see this person made out to be a martyr when that wasn't all he was about. You know, it's not like, yes, he had courage to go out and speak of his faith publicly. And I do applaud him for that, because that's not always easy. I mean, I find myself in situations where sometimes it's not easy, but he was out there doing it. But at the same time, you know, that's not all he was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that's what majority of the people that are idolizing him or trying to cement him or even compare him, which, you know, Kirsten, I'm pretty sure you and I have both read the same Bible in the same text that says that we're not supposed to compare. And the fact that a Texas congressman said if Charlie Kirk were alive during the times of the Bible, he would be close to Jesus or something as close to Jesus. And, you know, talking about faith, you know, my church has been around since early 2000s and I've been going for 15 years. And the first thing that my lead pastor spoke about was how you can feel sad or you can feel happy, but he really hopes that we don't feel happy about anybody's life being taken away. Because at the end of the day, that this all led back to sin.
What a message.
Yep. He told us that it led back to sin. And, you know, he got a lot of affirming nods. Because we all know that it's true that taking a life of those that you disagree with is never okay. But if we're going to sit here, as you say, Kirsten, if we're going to sit here and say, you know, he was true in his faith. In my eyes, I don't think he truly was. If he believed in the rhetoric and the hateful rhetoric that he was spewing, whether it goes to those that are part of the LGBTQ community, Black people, Asian Americans. I mean, for God's sakes, this is the same man that said, oh, if I see a Black pilot flying my plane, I think to myself automatically that he got this job because he was Black and he may not be qualified to fly a plane. Not my words. Those are his words.
Right.
And it this definitely shows me, his passing shows me how broad of a scale Christianity is for some folks.
Yes.
That's and apparently there are some Christians out here, self-proclaimed Christians, that believe that the world is as black and white as it seems, when in reality, if they really read the Bible, Christina, you and I, and I'm assuming Erica has read too, it shows that it's a boundless, it's a bound of different colors under different flags, with transformation after transportation, whether it be with an individual or whether it be with a country.
Jesus was brown. You know, that's a hard pill Amen. For people to swallow. Amen.
But he was. Say it with your chest, Kirsten.
I will. I love to tell people all the time. This drives me nuts.
And you know, that is a woman. That is a woman that is not scared of her faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, I like how you said that. That's a good way to end it as well. But thank you, Kyle, for trying your hardest. Let me tell y'all, he tried at least 3-4 times to get back on this dedication call today.
Y'all, I couldn't miss it for the world. I really couldn't.
Yes, we appreciate you. We kept calling you Houdini behind your back. You might see it in the episode. We was like, he just keeps coming and then disappears.
But you know what? I like that. I think that's going to be my new self-proclaimed nickname for myself, Houdini.
Well, thank you, Kyle, so much for joining us. We really appreciate your input, your time. So thank you for talking to us in the audience. You want to say any last thing to the audience before you go?
Yeah, absolutely. I just again want to say I apologize. My iPhone 11 is done. So I apologize for Houdini-ing back and forth with you, Erica and Kristen. I also want to say thank you to the audience for those that took the time and the effort and even just out their day to listen to me, a 22-year-old that was having phone issues stuck on the side of the road a couple of moments ago, to being able to have a thoughtful and meaningful in-depth conversation on my floor in my room with my laptop charging. So, y'all, I greatly appreciate it. And this was so fun. And I hope I am invited back again under newer and better conditions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would love to have you.
Anytime. And for anybody listening, thank you, thank you, thank you again for joining us on yet another episode of Politically Speaking. Until next time, talk to you soon. Bye.
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 This is Kirsten Pruitt. Please subscribe to the show wherever you find podcasts and consider leaving us a rating. You can find links to our social media and YouTube page in the show notes. Thanks again for listening.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.